What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. Let's get our heads right on a Thursday. Already Thursday. Week's kind of flown by a little bit. Not a lot going on in the sports world, you know, especially for a show like ours. But we are making do. We are exploring the space. And I think today will be another one of those days. Great opportunity for us to really put our improv shoes on, which is my favorite thing to do. And I can't say the same that for my partner over there to the left, but he does a great job at it as well. But I'm going to introduce him in a second. I'm going to introduce first the man to my right, the great Paul Reindl, executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Benjamin Higgins, friendly neighborhood sports anchor and news anchor and charity host and friend. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. They say the key to great improv is yes and.
Yes and?
Yes and. Well, you're always trying to build on the yes and.
What's that say at the top?
It says be curious.
That's right. That's for you.
I'm a curious person.
You're trying to get your point out and then be done.
Getting better.
You're getting better. You've gotten better. But mostly it's I want to talk.
I'm curious about things you don't care about.
Likewise.
That may be part of the issue sometimes.
That's true. But again, that's how you learn about the things that your partner cares about, by being curious about them. No?
No.
You buying that line?
You're true. Yeah, you're true when you say that. Then I've learned a lot from you.
And I've learned a lot from you. Lots. Lots and lots. I want to thank the Tier 1s because you're all absolutely psychotic. You've been tagging us and me in your YouTube Wrapped and your Spotify Wrapped, and you guys listen to a buttload of this program, an absolute buttload of Ben and Woods. And I see it, and it's still hard for me to wrap my head around sometimes. So I've been trying to share those on our socials, and I just wanted to take a moment live on the radio to thank you, because it's nice. Like you some days you see people in the chat. Twitter's died down a little bit, but you're like, Who are people listening to? Do they like what they hear? And then they send it like, I listen for 48,000 hours. You're like, good God, man. And that makes me, it fills me with joy.
And you have to listen to that much to be in like the top 5% of listeners.
It's crazy.
Because there are so many people who are listening, which blows me away.
It blows me away as well. So thank you for sending those. Please don't stop. I've gotten used to the dopamine hit. So send them. My number one podcast is Ben and Woods. But thank you. It's like little dopamine bumps all day long.
I'd like to announce that I'm in the top 84% of all listeners to Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits.
Yeah,
top 84.
Yeah, top 84%.
So I think you're in the top like
0.1%. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I just don't listen to enough of anything to make the top
eight times
really anywhere
last year. Sultans of Swing. So man, it's
put it this way. I find it hard to believe that song popped up on too many other Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah,
in 2025.
I don't think it popped up on Mark Knopfler's Spotify Wrapped, and he wrote it. So he's like, hey, guys, somebody listened to it eight times last year. Here's our quarter of a nickel. I got into not a debate yet, but there was a little bit of, I saw a little bit of virtue signaling yesterday about Spotify from a guy I know, from a guy I love, and a guy I respect tremendously. I won't call him out by name, but he posted something to the effect on Instagram, like, if you post your Spotify Wrapped, that means that you don't care about effing artists over. And that you don't care about anything, and you're a nightmare, and be like Neil Young, who had pulled his music off of Spotify. So I just simply wrote back on his Instagram feed. I said, Neil Young's on Spotify, actually. And he is, because I listened to Neil Young over the weekend on Spotify. And I thought to myself, because again, you see something like that, and it's like, all right, if I know better, is it my job to then try to be better? And I don't want artists to get effed over. So I thought to myself, I actually did some real thinking about it. I did. I do believe that Spotify doesn't pay their artists as much as they should for your streaming. I mean, you see these artists, and they're like a new artist, and he's like, he's got 1 billion downloads, and I'm like, or 1 billion streams. And I'm like, in the right planet, on the right planet, that guy should be like, I'm rich. I made it. It's not the case. They don't pay out as well as they should. And I thought, all right, does that mean I should 1,000% ditch Spotify and go to Apple Music, or is Tidal still a thing that Jay-Z and all those guys did? I don't know. Jack White was involved in that project. Neil Young was involved.
Is Apple Music that much better? That's or Prime Music that much better? So, is that just the way the system is?
So, like, if you came into my house and you walked in and you said, Woodsy, oh my God, dude, you're using this? This will kill your children. Like, this is, you're feeding them literal poison. I would go, oh my God. And I would go, okay, sorry, I'll get rid of it right away. If you have learned better, should you then in fact do better?
And like, you should just carry your turntable with you everywhere and only play records that you have purchased from Lou's in Leucadia if you really wanted to support artists.
So this is where I got to thinking. So I looked at my top five artists, right? Deftones, Afghan Whigs, Oasis, The Smith,
Jelly Roll.
I had a buddy that Jelly Roll was his three, and I made fun of him incessantly. He goes, oh, he was playing with Post Malone, so I downloaded some stuff just to see. He was open for him. I want to see what it sounded like. I go, it's no excuse.
I just wanted to see so much that he
then I just
became
kept
my number three.
And he was number three. Yeah, I just really had to see. I berated him. So I thought to myself, well, let's see. Out of the top five bands that I have listened to the most on Spotify, I own every single piece of vinyl they have ever put out. I have seen Deftones 13 times. I traveled to England to see Oasis and Los Angeles. I own every piece of vinyl that they've put out. I own every piece of vinyl that the Smiths have put out. I own every piece of vinyl that everybody in my top five put out. And I went, I'm in the clear.
You're not the problem.
I'm in the clear.
Yeah,
I'm in
course.
The clear.
Right, and if you've bought a piece of music and you want to listen to it on a different platform because it's more convenient,
it's more accessible,
that is absolutely fine. And I can't imagine the artist would care in the least bit if they know that you bought their album and you own that song somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's not that convenient for you to have your turntable
right?
with you at every moment of the day. And you want to listen to it on your AirPods as you're walking around the neighborhood. They're fine with that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would think so, right?
I think so.
Because I'm a big believer
in... They want people to listen to their music.
Well, but I'm a big believer in, if you love an album, and you're in, you know, I collect records too, but I also want to hold it. Like, I want to have it. I want to be able to play it on a Sunday morning on my turntable if I want to. And plus, I do believe in supporting artists. There's a website called Bandcamp, and certain artists will go through there. And you'll just pay, you honestly can pay what you want. I've bought Jason Isbell records for $9.99 or whatever, you know, live records that he's put out. He did not put out on vinyl or any other streaming platform, but I wanted it, so I bought it. I believe in supporting artists. I believe in going to their shows. I believe in buying their merchandise, as I'm wearing some right now. So I get not everybody is, I get not everybody does that, and I get not everybody has the means to do it. Sometimes, for me, I'd rather say, if you have a limited budget, but you still take the time out of your day to listen to our show, for example. I've never seen a dime from Spotify. All you guys, I don't care. I want you listening to the show because I know that when I tell you, hey, we're doing an appearance, or hey, support this charity, or hey, do this, you'll be there. So I don't know. It stuck in my craw a little bit yesterday on Spotify Rap Day. And I thought, I think two things can be true. You absolutely should take care of the artist. I'm a huge proponent of taking care of the artist and giving them their due. Am I supporting some, you know, Nazi regime by posting my Spotify Wrapped? I don't think so. Could they do better? Sure.
Couple things. Does it change when it's a band that you know that they're starting up, they're trying to get their names out there versus Jay-Z? You know what I mean? Like Jay-Z, you're like, he's probably pretty good at this point. He's gotten his. Like, I'm going to listen to this song on Spotify and probably not care too much about it.
No, because a lot of bands I like are established bands with many, you know, many, many records and everything else. I still buy the records because I support the artist.
Back before streaming music, you would have to buy a record or a cassette,
yeah,
sight unseen.
CD.
Maybe someone would recommend, or you heard one song on the radio.
Yeah.
And then you'd go buy it and listen really for the first time. You'd bring it home,
yep,
and many of the songs, that would be the first time you'd listen to them. You've already spent the money. You may not like that album. How many times have you bought an album?
Oh, so many times.
I don't really I mean, it that much.
Like probably 2 to 3 dozen times. I got recommended one. I bought it. Listened to it, was like, all right, that's $9.99. I'm never going
to
get back.
Isn't it better this way, where you can listen to every track probably before, and then you decide, oh, I really love this music. I want to hear how they put it together on the album and how it sounds on vinyl. I'm going to go out and buy that now.
Apple's had that forever. You were able to listen to like a 30-second sample of the song before you paid the 99 cents for it. But nowadays, it's also just the way the system is. Like artists now, if they have an album coming out, they're going to put out a single if they're a big artist.
Yeah.
You want people to listen to that, right? Where are we supposed to listen to that?
I mean, look.
And then isn't the hope that they listen to that for, not free, you're paying for Spotify and you're paying for Apple Music and all that, but you listen to the single there, and then hopefully you like it, you go out and buy the album or buy a ticket on tour.
Yeah, the tour is where they make some money. The merch is where they make money. Now, that's something I believe in 100%. If I own a venue, I've heard of this. This drives me nuts. I own a venue, and Ben's Big Jug Band comes through. And Ben's Big Jug Band has T-shirts to sell.
So got them jugs, don't you?
Yeah. Not that kind of jugs.
Hey, Ben, good to see you again.
So got them jugs, don't you?
You still got them jugs that you play on stage? It's good to see you. Here's the deal. You guys
These are
can,
the ones that you yeah, blow into the blow top, a top of. Yeah, right at
yeah,
the top.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So,
what did you guys think?
So... if you come to play my venue, Woodsy's Ale House, and you're going to play, your merch is your merch. I don't get a cut of your merch, but there are places out there that take cuts of your merch, which is garbage. That's garbage.
I agree with that.
That's straight up garbage. These are my CDs, my records, my T-shirts. You're not getting a dime from... I've had these produced. I'm selling them for $20. You know what I make on them? 18. And that's how it should be. And so that drives me nuts. That's actually like really harming an artist. But... getting their music out there for people to hear and enjoy, I think that's kind of part of the gig, in my opinion. Now, again, could we all do better? Could Spotify do better? Sure. And I think they should. But yeah,
I try not to go down that line too much.
It's hard,
and maybe
dude.
That's head in the sand.
Because then you find yourself just going, that's fine. I just won't listen to music at all.
Well, where do you draw the line, I guess, in your life?
Where's the line?
Because the clothes that you're wearing were probably made under some less than satisfactory means. Where did the oil that you use in your car come
from?
Like,
it's all...
the jewelry that you got.
The diamond earrings you bought your wife. Like,
where do we draw the line?
Where is it? And that's what I'm asking. And again, I didn't get in an argument, but Neil Young pulled his music off of Spotify because he didn't like the way artists were being treated, and I literally listened to Neil Young on Spotify this weekend. I can also look to my left and go, oh, there's 4 Neil Young vinyls that I have bought. So I don't know if it just makes me feel better or whatever, but I thought, man, that's some hardcore virtue signaling. I was really happy I got my Spotify Wrapped yesterday. I like to see it all tied up in a bow.
I guess ultimately, if you're an artist or a band, you have to find the right platform for you. And if you feel that strongly about it, and I'm not trying to tell anybody how to operate their business. I don't know what that is like to be a fighting, hungry artist. But man, like, they're the bigger names, guys like Garth Brooks. I think he's only on Amazon Prime Music, which isn't super commonly used, as far as I know.
Yeah, not even a little.
It's not Apple. It's not Spotify. But if you want to listen to Garth Brooks, I'm pretty sure that's like the only place you can go to get his full catalog.
And that's, you know,
but
that's every
he's
artist.
Made $400 million. He can kind of pick and choose whatever he wants to do. Not everybody can do that.
Now he's on here.
Is he?
Yeah.
His whole catalog is on Spotify? He used to only be Amazon Prime.
I mean, I guess not everything.
They do a lot of like, oh, here's a single, or here's a cover.
There's not the whole collection.
They'll do like, oh, he appeared as an art as a featured artist on a song.
Like, I can't hear "Friends in Low Places" on Spotify.
Yeah,
really,
right?
Yeah, he's not on Apple. He's Amazon Prime, I think. And I know, like, Taylor Swift has pulled her music and put it back on Spotify.
Yeah,
it's tough though, because if everybody does that, and all of a sudden now we're talking about like television streaming, and you're like, I don't really want 9 different music subscriptions.
But again,
be able to listen to all my artists.
This was also posted on Instagram, which is owned by Meta, right? Which is not a perfect situation. Again, where's the line here? You know, I mean, I saw a guy tweet blue skying the other day about how bad social media is. I'm like, you're effing posting it on social media. I don't know. That was just something I thought about, and it was about a 15-minute struggle for me yesterday that actually did force me to sit down and think. And I looked around at all of the music that I had bought, and I was like, I don't feel too bad. I looked at the T-shirts that I wear, and I go, I don't feel too bad. I look at my bank account for all the concerts I've gone to. I go, I don't feel too bad.
Bottom line, you can tie yourself in knots endlessly if you wanted to.
You really could. And make yourself sick.
Mental, logical knots.
Pretzels
that you'll never really undo if you keep thinking about it. And eventually you just have to make peace with how you live your life. And always strive to do better if you can. I do think,
try to get the best signing deal, I guess.
Pay the artist, man. I'm so down to pay the artists.
I do think that, for instance, I think the tier ones do a fabulous job supporting our art.
Yes.
As it were. Case in point. Found out yesterday that our Hop Run Tours trip is almost sold out.
It's almost sold out.
Our trip to Chicago next summer.
Can I be honest with you guys that when we announced this and we were selling, we're not selling it, but Hop Run Tours is, it makes you nervous because you want to deliver for them. And when you have 50 some odd slots to sell, you go, because it's not $300 to go. It's not the cheapest thing in the world, but you're getting a lot for your money. I'm a wreck about it, right? We launched it 10 days ago. He texted me yesterday. He's like, I'm going to add maybe a few more spots because we are almost out. And I go, you got to be kidding me. I was elated to hear that news. Elated. Right? I'm so, so happy.
That's the tier one supporting our art. What we've kind of asked you to support. You do that and you do a really, really good job. You go to 7 Mile. You get your eco water.
Yep.
You sign up for Prize Picks, whatever it is. That's kind of how we make a living, and you support us by supporting the places that we are partnered with, and we appreciate it.
When will be the next time that we can see Ben's Big Jug Band on stage?
Ooh.
What's the next gig? Any idea?
I think February at the Belly Up.
The Belly Up.
Okay. You got them jugs.
Yeah. God, man, it's good to see you again, you and your jug band.
Got my merch table right there in front.
Mini jugs. I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't figure it all out today. But I did. I did sit down. And Alexis says, that's the point was you sat down, you were conscious about it. Yes, I thought, and I went, whew, all right. How do I feel about the work that I'm doing? And I go, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good. And I think if every one of those artists was sitting in my living room, I could say, no, look, yes, I bought your box set that has 3 good songs on it. Yes, I bought the special edition. Yeah, I bought it all, man. Yes, I bought the VIP for your concert in Vegas. Cost me a fortune. Yes, I bought VIP at Dia de los Deftones. It was worthless. I support you. And they would look at me and they'd go, you get a pass. And I would feel better. I really would feel better. Now, you pilfered 8 streams from Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits.
I did. I don't own the album.
Do you own the album?
I do not own the album.
Then you are part of the problem. You're part of the problem. You're a thief and a liar.
But I don't think I'm abusing the privilege. Oh. I think they'll go, if you just selectively listen to a couple of songs, Spotify's okay. You're not abusing it. If I was listening to Mark Knopfler hundreds of times, they'd say, come on, just buy the album, Ben.
You know, I've been guilty of virtue signaling. I don't like it when I do it. I don't like it when it's done to me. So one of my resolutions for next year is to, live and let live a little bit more. And I didn't wade into the fray necessarily. I just wrote Neil Young's on Spotify. So if you're going to make a virtue signaling point using Neil Young as your, you know, your the celebrity that did it, make sure he's not back on Spotify. I was jamming Neil Young all week. So
he's been back on Spotify since March of 2024. He was off. He took a 2-year boycott.
Yeah, which is good. Good for him. I love that. I love that he took a stand. And maybe it helped a little. I don't know. But pay them more. The artists deserve it. They put out art. You know, art is very important. So take care of the artists in your life, whoever they may be.
Especially the ones who aren't Neil Young. Mm-hmm. And probably he's doing okay, however you're consuming his music.
That's right.
He's been very successful. Most artists are not nearly at the level of some of the people we're talking about here that you're listening to on Spotify.
Yeah, Garth Brooks. Ooh, he took a stand. He got $700 billion.
They signed massive deals where they don't really care what their royalties are.
Correct, correct. He's not making a living on Spotify. I got an update on the vacuum cleaner again.
Another update on the vacuum cleaner.
So I finally went to the website yesterday. So the email route that they had asked me to do did not work. So I went to the website. And I found a little tiny button that said return. Clicked on it. I had to submit for a return of the vacuum cleaner that I bought my wife. It turns out it's a Temu piece of garbage.
Kind of like the unsubscribe button you finally find at the bottom of the email that you don't want to receive anymore.
Yes, exactly. And they had to approve my return. They did. They sent me a number. And then they said, okay, take this down, send it back to us at your own expense, by the way. So I got to ship it back to them on my dime. Also had to print out the receipt from when I bought it. Also make a note in there and leave that number that they gave me to return it. So I'm following the instructions. I'm going to drop it off today. Hopefully I should have my $260 back or whatever it was soon. But now Hannah is vehemently opposed to me even going and re-upping and getting a new vacuum. Now she's just like, if you
get
a vacuum.
You've lost vacuum purchasing privileges.
I have, which is a decent way to get out of buying people stuff, you know? So that's the update. They are going to make it difficult on me. They're trying right now. I can tell you that.
They're hoping that if they make the instructions complicated and tedious enough that you'll just throw your arms up in the air and go,
I'm over it.
That's just a couple $100.
Purple.
This is not worth my time or stress level. Just let them keep it. That's what they're hoping.
Purple with a great question in the chat. Did Hannah let you use her printer? The answer is absolutely not. I had to forward her these emails and say, please print, please print, please print.
I just set up a printer yesterday at the house.
You did?
So if you need anything, I got you.
I'm going to send you a bunch of stuff to print. Bring it in tomorrow for me, would you?
Yeah.
I
still got to check. I got to check the ink cartridges. I haven't used the printer in like a year.
I can't even print here, man.
Yeah, you can't.
I can't even print here. I'm not even allowed to print. So anyway, that's the update. Sorry, if you're a Spotify artist, I would like to support you in any way I can. It bothered me. I was thinking probably way too much about it.
Speaking of supporting artists, I don't want to wait because we've been doing it near the end of the show this week. But if you'd like to win tickets to Zach Bryan, let's do it right now. Early ticket giveaway for his concert at Snapdragon Stadium. Of course, they're hoping you're going to buy tickets out there. That's why they do the giveaways. You can at Ticketmaster.com, Snapdragon Stadium on July 31st. But if you'd like to win them, Tier 1s, be the fifth caller right now at 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Early giveaway on a Throwback Thursday. We'll set the menu. I'll let you know about our throwback clips for the day, our guest for the day. If you were listening yesterday, you know we have a special guest who just had a big announcement yesterday. He's going to be joining us later in the program.
Maybe for the last time.
Hope not.
I hope not too.
She said, quote, I'm up for a challenge.
Ooh.
She knows she's in enemy territory now.
I never thought it would come to this.
That is all coming up. Ben Woods and Paul, Tier 1s, thank you for joining us on a Thursday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our first check of traffic with Kelly Danick.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Question for you guys. Been bothering me. Just, I don't know, pretty much for the last 30 years.
No.
Do I walk funny?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought so.
Damn it, man. I was hoping, Paul, that was the one question he would never ask.
Yeah.
I catch like a glimpse of myself in a reflection, and I don't like how I walk. What do I do?
Come here.
Thanks.
Come here.
Okay. But it's true, right? I have an awkward gait.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm okay when I'm standing.
Yeah,
I think.
You look great when you're standing.
But when
good
I move,
posture. Good, great posture.
Yeah. But then when I move, I've got this little slight.
Yeah, it's
lean
a tilt.
Forward,
I know, we've
this
seen
tilt.
It. We've known about it.
I don't feel it.
We've.
But
I was hoping this day would never come. I've been dreading this day on the radio. I have been.
You would rather tell Taylor where babies come from, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
I think he already knows.
Cutton says Ben's got that duck walk. Yeah.
All right.
What do I do about it? It's too late. Right? I'm 50. I can't correct. I feel I have good posture though, don't I?
You do.
What do I need to do?
All right.
How do we fix this?
So I need to describe it. I had a I had a great uncle. His name was Uncle Ed. He was the goat. He's married to Aunt Ruth. And Uncle Ed, I remember like one of the first times after about 6 months of doing a show together, I was talking to my dad on the phone. And he's like, it really seems like you guys are vibing, and the show sounds great. We love it. Me too. Tell me about Ben. Said, you know what he reminds me of? Reminds me of Uncle Ed. And my dad goes, yeah, I can see that. And I go, Dad, you haven't even seen him walk. Where do you see him walk? He walks just like Uncle Ed.
No.
And he's like, really? I go, yeah, yeah. And he had this kind of same, it's almost like a
yes.
Lean, it's a lean forward, ass out.
The, yes.
Yeah. And that's like a.
I see it.
And you walk really fast. I might have sent Paulie a video on Saturday night. Paulie, do you have it?
I do.
Paulie can put it on, and then you can see it from behind. Mm. I really hope this would never happen. I'm proud of you for bringing it up. I was never going to bring it up.
You were never going to say anything.
No.
You'll say anything.
I will say anything.
You'll say anything.
I will say anything.
You've held this back for the entire time.
8 years.
You probably noticed it.
Day
like
one.
The first.
I remember saying to Paulie early in the Mighty 1090 days, why does he walk like he's 100 years old? But like really why does he walk like a 100-year-old power walker in a mall in Coral Gables?
Like you walk like you're on a mission.
He's literally, and the arms flat. He's like.
You just don't.
Like a caveman. Oh, I hate this. I didn't want to do this. This hurts me. This hurts us.
Literally, like.
Saturday.
I've known you for like 10 years.
I go, look at him go. So we get to.
This hurts.
So we get to SDFC, and I told you guys on Monday, he missed the green parking lot, which is the one that is 4 feet from the entrance. We were 7,000 yards away.
Which is all walking.
Yeah, and we're getting close to like ball drop. Yeah. You know what I mean? So he's definitely on a mission. So I'm trying to keep up. This is from Saturday.
You were videoing me.
From behind you, yes. And he,
so
I couldn't.
So humiliating.
I couldn't keep up. I go, Paulie, look at him go. I go, and you can
deceased.
You can hear me under my breath in the video. Go, slow down, MF-er.
I knew it.
Who told you this? How
no
did this
one.
Come to light? You caught a glimpse.
We were walking up, and I, you know, when it's night and we have a glass building.
Yes.
I'm just seeing my reflection.
Your reflection. And you saw.
I've seen this before.
Cro-Magnon yes. man walking into the building.
I don't like how that person walks, and that person is
it's me.
I
do it, too. I'll walk by a window. It happened to me in Encinitas. I was returning something at Viore. I'm walking down to my car, and I look over, and I see, like, my shoulders are slumped, and I'm like, hey, get your... So then I, like, stopped, and I was like, okay. You don't want to look like you're a meathead walking, because I'm not, you know, I'm not big and muscular. But I put my shoulders back, and I just kind of slowly ambled. But I made a conscious decision to change it.
I feel like I may have some sort of center of gravity issue or lower back, you know, something combining into whatever causes me to walk the way that I walk. But it doesn't look like a normal human being, and it's
troubling to me.
Well, when you get on a mission, that's a different walk.
That's true, too.
Your normal gait into the studio, or if I said to you, walk down to Adam's office, no hurry. Your gait would still be a little funky.
It would be.
But if I said, dude, we have 30 seconds, go grab that thing off Adam's desk, it would be like the the arms like this. like you're on a mission.
It is the mall walker, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's the mall walker.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be your calves.
It could be.
It could be. Again, your posture is good. So you have good posture. You sit up nice and straight. I think when you just get in the zone, you start to tilt.
Uh-huh.
So if you could just
kind of lean more back.
I'm just worried
I'm going to fall
just
backwards.
Just be slightly more conscious about it.
Just think about it.
Like shoulders
back.
Right.
A little bit more
effort. All right, I'm going to authorize both of you.
You're doing it again.
Yeah.
Ben, you're doing it again.
Slow down. Lean back.
This feels like...
We need a code word.
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
Yeah. Ben, Sasquatch. Oh, okay. And then he can...
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I like that.
Can I make another suggestion?
Sure.
You might be. And I say this as someone who's also very tight. You might be the tightest dude on the planet. I have been doing...
Hamstrings,
lower back, buttocks.
Yeah.
All of this very tight. Now,
I noticed that at Walmart the other day. When you bent down to help pick up that receipt,
you couldn't do it.
It was tough. I don't know if it was the pants were a little tight.
I mean, you've played golf with me. I don't put my tee in the ground like a normal person. I slowly lower.
Yeah. No, he drops it from the sky and hopes that it lands.
Just like a throwing knife.
I bend my knees. I don't bend at the waist. I bend at the knees.
All right. So I have to recommend something. I didn't want to talk about it.
Mm.
I was not ready to talk about this, but I'm going to. And I'm doing it because you brought this up. I'll also share something. I have started a routine that I'm sure... Now, the minute I mention on the radio is when tomorrow I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Because that always happens. I didn't want to talk about it because it's been going so well. But I downloaded an app. It's called Just Stretch. And yes, I was on Ambien. Yes, I paid for it. Yes, I was duped by the, we'll get you looking like this in 6 weeks if you just do this simple. Yes, but also, two things were true. I need to stretch. I need to be more flexible. As we get older, you and I, I'm planning on staying athletic. I'm planning on playing baseball, golf, throwing the football with my kids. I'm planning on this. It's not going to happen. At some point, we're going to have a devastating injury to our back, our hips, or something where, because we didn't take care of it, so I started Just Stretch. It's between 6 and 12 minutes. I set my alarm for 10 minutes earlier, and I have done it every single day for like 3 weeks.
Nice.
And so I have now found it's a bit of a meditation for me in the morning. It kind of gets my head right, gets me awake. It sucks. But I showed Hannah yesterday. I put my figure four, and I reached out and I touched my toe for the first time ever in my life. I go, babe, look, I grabbed my toe. I've never done this.
I've never been able to touch a toe.
This is after 3 weeks. And so I just started doing it, Just Stretch. If you give yourself an extra 10 minutes, and it makes you feel better in the morning. Like, I'm moving, I'm doing something in my head. The guy's voice is great. It's great. They play like weird music. Now, please stretch your hamstring by pulling your foot. Great.
I am impressed because one of the hardest, when you have this job, morning show, setting that alarm even earlier is one of the toughest things to do.
I have my alarm set now for, my normal alarm was 4:22, and I set my alarm now for 4:12, and what does it say under 4:12?
Stretch!
Yep. So that's been...
That's right, you're 4:22?
Yep.
I'm 4:23.
Yeah.
That's weird.
4:22, yeah. And I have 4:12 now, and it says stretch next to it. So that's one of the reasons. Remember when I told you I wanted to buy you a really good massage gun? A really good one. Like the one that I got, the one that Paulie has. And you're like, I don't think I'd use it. I think it would help. And also, it's pretty pleasurable. Like, it's not like it's torture. And as you're watching, you know, the Aztecs, you're sitting on your couch and you're just grinding this thing into your butt, or you're grinding it into your hammies, or you're grinding it into your groin, whatever it may be. Keep it away from the taint. I will warn you from personal experience. It's not great on it's a little bit firm for the taint. Okay, I'll tell you that right now. Keep it away from that general in-between area. But here, you know, your lats, you lift now. You have to do it. It's such a necessary evil. And I really think that it will help your back because you've had back problems.
I do. I stretch when I, you know, lift with my trainer. I stretch at the end of my Peloton, my hamstrings and my calves. 30 seconds.
Correct.
Yeah. You should stretch before and after.
For
more than 30 seconds.
It's a lot of time that we're adding into my day.
I'm
stretch
telling
here,
you,
stretch there, stretch
it's,
everywhere.
It's just been 10 extra minutes a morning, and it's changed my attitude about like getting up to, and I feel the other thing too is when anytime you do something and you don't see progress, that's when you're super bummed, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, I've been grinding in the gym or this and that, I don't see any progress. It's coming. It's coming. It's there. Like you can do it. You know, and I just feel like for you, I know how much you want to play golf until the day you die. There's not going to be a time where you're like, ah, I think I'm going to hang them up. I want you out there at 75 years old. You're not going to get there right now.
The amazing thing is I'm actually much more mobile than I was even 3 or 4 years
ago. Of course, you lost a bunch of weight.
Doing the Peloton as I've done, it's helped.
Take this extra next step, and then I think it would fix the gait. So let's work on, at the break, we'll work on, we'll get a little video. And we'll work on the gate. Because I think, I'm glad you brought it up. This feels like a breakthrough on our program.
I'm shocked that you both have been...
haven't been making fun of you. We've been worried about you.
Secretly talking about it behind my back for 8 years.
Yeah, on Saturday even. I'm sorry.
Like, as recently as this Saturday.
I didn't think you'd bring it up. And I was not going to say something like, why do you walk like... Why do you walk like...
But I can hear you saying things like that.
I would feel...
You're as comfortable as anyone in the world saying things
like that. I'm not a bully.
Not directly to your face.
Yeah, behind your back for sure. No problem.
I know you do it in the spirit of wanting to help me be better, which I understand. But thank you both for your honesty.
Thank you for bringing that up.
I need to reevaluate some things.
When you were walking in last night, it got you, didn't it? It got you. You looked and you go, what? Yeah. Who? That can't be me.
I think
the shoulders come down a little bit, right?
It's weird because you sulk, but you still look stiff.
Yeah, I'm both slouching
and stiff.
And
you're
stiff at the
slouch.
Same time, a stiff sloucher.
It's weird, man. It's weird to describe. We need to take him to...
Is there a walking coach anywhere out there?
Yeah, you can make a lot of money right now.
I'm not kidding you, man.
No, there's a place, local place. They don't pay for airtime.
Stretch Lab.
Stretch Lab.
Yeah.
Remember they were at a golf tournament we were at?
It is tough.
Giving away like 10 minutes.
Scared. I'm a little scared.
Just try it out, and here's our card if you want to come back.
I did it.
I have thought about that 10-minute stretch for years now.
It's pretty good.
It was unbelievable.
But the massage gun will help, man. It gets those muscles. You gotta rip through those muscles.
All right,
you can do this.
I was not intending to go that far. I was going to set the menu. Let me just...
Did you think that me and Paul were going to be like, no, we haven't noticed. No, you walk fine.
I was hoping
We'll get to the Aztecs game when we get to the Aztecs.
I was hoping maybe no. You're over... You're being self-conscious for no reason, Ben. It's absolutely...
You're crazy! As I'm looking at Paulie winking like, oh my God, he finally brought it up. What do we do? What do we do?
I love you.
But just stretch. Just start there. Right. And you can do it at night. You can do it pre-Peloton, post-Peloton. You can do both, man. Crush it. Because when you put your mind to something, you really crush it. You lost the weight. Your Peloton is the most consistent of anybody I've ever seen. You're constantly pushing yourself there. This is just literally, it's painful. It sucks. And you look like a goober. When you're trying to do some of it early on, you really look like an idiot. But I'm starting to see it work.
Okay.
It's helping me.
All right. That's the next step.
Just stretch.
That's the next step. New Year's resolutions.
Oh, yes. I like it.
All right. Katie Wu, who has been our friend for many years.
She's still our friend.
We think.
She's our friend.
Yeah, I know she is. She is moving over from covering the St. Louis Cardinals to covering the Los Angeles Dodgers. We will congratulate her on the new job. Talk about what the new job entails when she joins us at 7:35 this morning on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. We'll also talk about the off-season rumors, hot stove league, some players on the trade block that maybe the Padres could be interested in. We'll get to that coming up as well. Our regular features, Don't Do This. It's a real or fake throwback Thursday. Biggest fan contest at 9 o'clock in our Rindle Report. But
The Aztecs did bounce back with a win. It was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination last night. Some early thoughts after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
All right, Aztecs last night at Viejas Arena, taking on Utah Valley. A must-win game. Really, it's hard to say that in December, but you lose another home game against an opponent that is viewed as lesser than, you have no chance at an NCAA tournament at-large berth. So if you want to keep yourself in the conversation, it's when the Aztecs had to win. They were favored by 9.5 points. They took a double-digit lead in the first half, even though Miles Byrd was playing with the flu, or really not playing. I mean, he was out there for 20 minutes. He did not score. So, you know, not getting anything from Miles Byrd, getting very little from Magoon Gwath. In fact, the entire starting lineup last night, I wrote this down, I believe 17 points from the entire Aztec starting lineup. That's a recipe to lose most games in college basketball, in any form of basketball.
Any sport,
honestly.
Actually.
You get 17 points from your starting lineup, that is, you might as well just go home. You have no chance. But the backups, they're 18 points, actually. 59 from the bench, though. I had play.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, B.J. Davis, who had a really nice game, 18
He's
points.
So good.
Made 8 of 8 from the foul line. And then Tay Simmons, the freshman, with his best game as an Aztec with 15 points and 7 rebounds. Some injury concerns. Miles Heidi, he hit the deck hard in the first half. They're calling it, I believe, a hip contusion. Was not able to return. So you get essentially zero from your two Mileses in the game, but you found a way to win. 77-66 last night over Utah Valley, who made it interesting a couple of times. I mean, the Aztecs were up 14, I think, in the first
the
half,
first,
but then it was
one
at halftime.
At halftime, yeah.
Utah Valley took a lead early in the second half. The Aztecs stretched it back to double digits. You're thinking, okay, and then boom, boom, boom. In about 20 seconds, they went on a 7-0 run. It's a three-point game. It's a one-possession game coming down the stretch, but San Diego State was able to make enough plays that they not only won, but they covered and got the win they absolutely had to have last night, 77-66.
You know, and it's funny. I'm reading the quote from Dutcher in the UT about B.J. Davis. And, you know, there's always those guys. Man, this guy, he comes off the bench, and he gives us a spark, right? And this is now B.J. Davis's fifth straight game in double figures. And you look at it, and you're like, and he's like, hey, I don't want him to be sad that he's not starting, but he's playing so well. That's not a role that any player wants to be. You know, every player wants to be a starter, right? This is the role for B.J. Davis.
He was a starter.
He was a starter last year. So now he's finally playing up to snuff, if you will. Is it one of those things where you're like, you can't mess with a good thing? Let's leave him in that role. Or, hey, man, he's more than earned it. You're already having trouble with your rotations. Let B.J. Davis start the game and start hot, you know, instead of coming off the bench.
I guess, I mean, you know, how important is starting? He played 24 minutes. Miles Byrd played 20. LZ Harrington started, played 20. Magoon started, played 16.
Is that because of non-performance?
He played
though?
More than the starters.
But is that because of they weren't, you know, Miles was sick?
And that was part of it, but, you know, but all of the bench players, Farrell Compton played 22 minutes, Taj DeGourville played 20. They have 9 starters. You can introduce 5 of them,
right?
But that's all you're really getting. You're getting introduced. Other than that, you're going to have a 40-minute game, and every guy on the Aztecs is going to play between 18 and 24 minutes.
Yep.
And, you know, it doesn't matter really whether you're the first one out there.
Or the third.
You know, as coaches will say, and they do this to make, you know, players feel a little bit better. Do you want to be the guy who starts the game, or do you want to be the guy who finishes the game?
Yeah.
You know, BJ has been one of the guys who finishes the game right now for the Aztecs because he's been playing so well. At some point, you might think about making a change to the starting lineup and putting him in there. But you'll want him out there with the right guys who he's comfortable playing with, and he seems to be comfortable playing with the guys who he's in with on the court at the time.
So what do you see from them? I mean, you're looking a 12-0 run from Utah Valley to end the first half. 12-0 to end the first half. Is that
I'm going to be honest.
Lack of effort? What is it?
I'm going to be honest. I don't enjoy watching this team yet.
I have not enjoyed this particular brand of Aztecs basketball. And I think I finally put my finger on it. Dutch might dispute this, or he might secretly agree with it. I don't see a consistent level of effort and focus from the team. Sometimes they seem too much effort. Like they're frantically trying to show that we're better than this, and they're making mistakes because they're going too fast and trying too hard. On defense, they're overplaying things. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're going a little run, and they look like, all right, now we're going to play a little more casual, and we're going to try to get some swagger, and they'll turn it over, and they'll look sloppy.
Wow.
At times, and it's just swinging back and forth between trying a little too hard,
like your
and
arms,
trying not hard
when
enough,
you're
swinging like my arms back and forth.
Yep,
exactly.
We're gonna work on it right here.
I would just rather see them, you know, calm down, dial in. I mean, I want to see that intensity, but you know, keep it all the way through the 40 minutes.
Got you.
All right, we will.
I know you're upset.
They won though, which I'm glad. Not about the walk. I'm not upset. I'm okay.
All right.
Hot Stove League next here on the Fan.
I'm Emma Greed, host of Aspire with Emma Greed, a podcast where I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From culture-shaping voices like Mel Robbins to leaders redefining success like Tracy Ellis Ross to game-changing entrepreneurs like Mark Cuban, Aspire is about mindset, ambition, and doing the work that actually moves the needle. If you're ready to raise your standards and take charge about the life and career you're building, Aspire is where you start. Follow and listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast available wherever you get your podcasts.